apologies. Commissioners, thank you for the buddies conference. After discussing with the other parties, I believe the division characterized the treatment of the EIM costs and revenues well in their audit report, where they said they reviewed the costs and read there's some expenses and revenues that are flowing through EIM EBA accounts. They reviewed them, but did not take a position on whether they were prudent or appropriately included, and they would review them in future filings. That's the nature of the agreement now, that the stipulation does not determine the prudence of any of these EIM expenses or revenues, but we all recognize that they are flowing through the EBA, the mechanics of the EBA today. So I would recommend that the tariff include those accounts, all of the EIM accounts, but that it be recognized that by them being in the tariff, it does not assume that in future filings that they are prudent or that that's the appropriate way to handle it.
So they're flowing right now, but I guess ultimately those could be reviewed and subject to adjustment theoretically in a rate case. Is that correct?
Is that right?
Yes.
And so those would just be, I guess, assuming that going to happen, that would occur in the adjustment made in the EBA or the next EBA, or would it happen in the rate case? I guess I'm just trying to figure out that the review would occur in the rate case, but a potential adjustment, if there was one, would be in the rate case, or would it be in the next EBA?
Adjustments to the kind of accounts that are...
No, just the actual, yeah, so I understand that the new filing, the revised filing, will include the sub-accounts. What I'm saying is that...
So my understanding is that the dollars that were incurred in 2014 would not be subject to adjustment later on. That's been resolved here, but without any determination of whether EIM is prudent or without any determination of which specific accounts should be used in the future. So during 2014, there was some dollar amounts booked, and those would now flow through the EBA subject to this settlement agreement, but without any determination of prudence or future treatment in future filings. So in the general rate case, there would be a determination of whether EIM participation in the EIM is prudent and whether costs incurred going forward are prudent. And at that time, it could be determined what to do with costs in 2015, maybe 2015.
That's helpful. Thank you.
May I comment? That is just about how I understand it, but let me make sure that we know what we're doing. The amount of the EBA deferral from 2014 to be amortized will include some EIM-related dollars. Those are not subject to adjustment, except to the extent that there might be an adjustment made as a result of pricing anomalies during the last 2 months of the year. That still has to be determined. My understanding is we've left that open so that those adjustments can be made. Is that correct?
I agree with that, and maybe just to be even clearer, there were some costs billed to the company during the EBA period, so in November, December, some costs were billed to the company that have subsequently been refunded, and so those costs were flowing through the EBA in 2014. The refund will flow through the EBA in the 2015. So I agree.
As to there are then, in addition to that, at least two things that need to be determined in the next rate case. One is the prudence of EIM-related costs that should be recovered. Two is whether they should be recovered through the EBA. And even though there will be sub-accounts, correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Dickman, even though there might be sub-accounts, listed in the compliance filing in this EBA that are related to the EIM. That does not establish a precedent that those kinds of costs should properly be flowed through the EBA. So we reserve not only the prudence of the costs, but the kinds of costs in the accounts that should be included in the EBA for the next rate case and EBA deferral.
I just have one brief follow-up to Commissioner Clark's questions on the timing after the October 20th filing. I guess kind of making this into a scheduling conference. Is there any objection then if when that filing comes in, the commission issues a notice of comment for 5 calendar days with no replies? Does that sound reasonable to everyone in the room?
That's acceptable to us, Your Honor.
Excuse me?
That's acceptable to the office.
Division also, please, we can turn that around in 5 days, so we're happy with that.
Okay. Thank you. I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman, did you say that there would be no opportunity for a reply to the 5-day report?
Well, where we have about 10 calendar days between October 20th and November 1st, I didn't see that as being likely, but do you have a comment to that issue, though?
Well, I hate to forfeit the opportunity to reply to something that we haven't seen yet, so I'm just wondering if there's a way to keep that open in case it's necessary to comment on the division's review of the compliance filing. But usually we don't. I'm just a little
sure.
Your Honor, the reason why the company proposed October 20th as a compliance filing did was to give parties sufficient time between now and then for them to take that time to review it, so that once we file it on October 20th, nobody will have any issues with it. And so that was the company's thinking when we proposed October 20th.
So is the company making a commitment to circulate that prior to October 20th?
Yes.
By if you give us a date, then I think you can resolve this.
Just a minute.
Go off the record briefly.
The company will submit the commitment filing to the parties on or before October 14th and be ready to file it by the 20th.
Okay, so that would be a joint filing then on the 20th, or concurrent filings from all parties giving their position on it?
If your honors would like, I could, when we file it, I could include in the cover letter that the company has the authority to represent that the parties find it acceptable.
Is that a common agreement on that path?
Or at least that they don't have an objection to
it. Yes.
At least with respect to the division, we can review it in that time, but I can't commit today that we'll agree with the company. And so in the case that we have a disagreement, we'll file something from the division that reflects our opinion on the filing.
Okay. Well, I think we've clarified it as much as possible then at this point. Anything further from the view from anyone else? Ms. Hogle?
Yes, Your Honor, thank you. I realize that we have to make a compliance filing here still, but I believe that that's typical in these kinds of filings that the company makes, where there is a settlement, and given that there's no opposition to the settlement, the company respectfully requests a bench order from the commission today. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Jeter, any position on that motion?
We have no objection to Ventura today. We still support the stipulation, and I suppose Ventura would make things a little bit clearer going forward. Towards that compliance filing.
Thank you. Mr. Olson?
The office has no objection to Ventura either.
Mr. Evans?
No objection to Ventura.
Okay. Why don't we just take a very brief recess, probably just a minute or two. Approval of the tariff sheets that will be filed subsequently. And we find that the stipulation is consistent with the relevant statutes, rules, and commission orders. So we approve the stipulation effective immediately, and we will issue a subsequent written order memorializing this bench ruling in connection with the any order on the tariff sheets that will be filed during October. Anything further? We're adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you.